Inside Wirtschaft, der Podcast mit Manuel Koch.
Did somebody talk about correction? After losses early last week, US markets ended up in green territory around 35,000 points. This is the IG Trading Talk and I'm Manuel Koch. And joining me now are Salah Ididemumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, over 35 years on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange and today at the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. So guys, so good to see you.
Hi guys.
How are you? How's everybody today? It's a beautiful day.
Good, good, good. Peter, the earnings season looks strong. A lot of companies published their numbers. Are all the companies already back to pre-corona performances? What is the market, or what topics are driving the markets at the moment?
So look, as of Wednesday of last week, we did see 72 of the S&P companies reporting, and 89% of them had beat estimates by at least 19%. That is extraordinary. Now, look, earnings season is upon us. These companies seem strong. It's hard to really know if you really are not a earnings person, forensicologist, to know whether the expectations had been lowered in anticipation of post-COVID performance to sort of release a more robust number in the eyes of the recovery to support the markets and the economy as is. So I'm not sure about how pre-pandemic these robust earnings are, but clearly there is a positive sentiment going forward. The earnings, as I said, have been over 75-80%, super positive, beating expectations. And once again, we need to revert ourselves to what the earnings are, what the guidance is, what the forecast is for the future. And then again, what is the price action of the stocks after the releases? We are seeing that there are some stocks that were very pandemic friendly, or that were made our lives easier and did have sort of super robust balance sheets throughout the pandemic, that are now sort of have looked a little bit high in the long in the tooth and a bit toppy within the recovery reopening story. But a day to day, as the pandemic, the virus, the volatility in the vaccine clearly are stumbling blocks in our reopening story. We have seen last week a big sell-off early in the week, a big rally into later parts of the week. But we are seeing some stocks, depending on what the focus of the market is on a day-to-day basis. We did see a day where the market sold off right quite radically on the fears of the pandemic hitting Tokyo, 2% down in Europe, traveling across the United States. And we did see the reopening stocks get hit quite hard. That would be the airlines and the hospitality and the cruise line. But then again, when there's a bid in the marketplace, we often talk about it with technical analysis. Look, these are not crashes. These are not consolidations. These are just slight blips in the road, right? The market tells us that there is a bid in the market. What does that mean? That means that there are people with shopping lists that are waiting for these little days of these small sales. It's like going to Macy's on catching Macy's on a great day where everything is at a 25 or 50% sale and buying stocks that have been a little bit overvalued over the last year because some of them are up multi-digit percentages, and that there are people who are long-term investors who are just dying for a down 700 day just to scoop up and average into a nice position.
Salah, you brought us the chart of the week, and we are talking about currencies today, the euro and the US dollar. We saw the European Central Bank's decision last Thursday. Does it, or did it have any impact on the currencies?
Thank you. Yeah, after this incredible week last week, I have the chart of the week, which is the euro dollar today. Of course, we had some impact, but that has been actually priced in already. I talked, I think, a month ago also about the euro dollar, and specifically as a technical analyst about the bearish flag pattern that we had here. We crossed the important moving averages, and then this bearish flag validated by breaking out through to the bottom. And now we are already targeting our first target based on this bearish flag. And this actually means that we are in a trend continuation. So this means that actually we can see deeper lows as well, heading to 1.16 for the euro dollar, and we are almost there. So you can see how technical analysis can help you to spot patterns, to spot a bearish or bullish movement. And this is what I'm looking for now, a support level in about this area, what we can see. If we don't hold here, I think we can trend further down to the downside.
Peter, I have good news for you. Many companies like banks are looking for fresh new talents. Because of Corona, many people left big cities, for example, and now the salaries are going up. At least $100,000 per year are new young talents making. So can you see this around your businesses and maybe at the New York Stock Exchange? Are companies in need of young, fresh talents?
You know what? It's hard for me to know. I'm not really in that sector too much, but it's clear we're seeing that there is a huge demand for new young talent, right? We're seeing it as the reopening story. Look, in finance and in the banking industry, look, they are always growing. You know, the banks didn't close during the pandemic, right? The economy, while globally, did close in so many different ways. The financial part of our economy and our life, as it would, is so ingrained in our daily lives that the investment community, the banking community, never shut down during COVID, no matter what, because the world didn't come to an end. So they have to be forward-looking into a reopening story, because we knew that hopefully this would not last forever. And I think it's lasting a lot longer than we had anticipated, and it's still a questionable story on the reopening thing, but banks are forward-looking in guidance and in earnings and in growth. We did come into the pandemic where the banks were in a very robust, going back to February 12th of 2020, a robust balance sheet, and once again, we are seeing them grow well. We are seeing within the whole employment sector that there is clearly a shift, and I think it's an ever-evolving story. We're seeing people who are having hesitancy about going back to work. We are seeing people who have been at home for a long time, who basically are really kind of demanding a higher income to come back to work. We are seeing industries that are having to pay more to get people to come back. And then obviously we're seeing a whole nother new generation of people coming of age. We've been shut down for a couple of years now, really, in so many ways, a year and a half. And so as businesses start to reopen and as businesses start to grow, and the recovery story happens in economies, and you would only think that if I was a large company, I would be out there looking for young talent, people in their 20s and mid 20s we can't presume what people's lives have been like for the last year. I often talk about that on social media, you know, that we've all gone through psychological, spiritual, economic, health changes over the last year and a half. We're globally, right? There's not a human being on this earth who is not affected by this virus and this global shutdown in some way, whether they've lost a loved one, whether they were sick themselves, whether they lost their jobs, whether they were struggling psychologically with being locked down for a year and a half. We cannot presume what that's about. But if I was a large company, I would want to go out there now and look, people have got to step out and get back into life, right? I'm a firm believer in that. And I think that is a struggle for a lot of people. But there must be so many young people with great talent who are dying to make a change in their life now in order for them to step out of their house and get back into life. So I would imagine that we're going to see a whole new generation of new, young, super robust, super smart, Generation X, you know, Gen Z, whatever generation you're part of, they're out there. I see it in my own family. I have a young daughter who is 24 years old, who, you know, obviously went through the challenges of being a 24-year-old young lady within the pandemic space, you know, leaving college, getting a new job, going back to school. And she's just dying to get back out there and become a viable part of society once again. So, you know, in answer to your question, I'm sure that there is a multi-generational opportunity here of going out there and plucking some incredibly young talent within the world.
Peter, last week, it was actually a perfect example, again, that we are in a perma bull market or in a hyper bull market. We have seen a down Friday, down Monday, which is sometimes a correction indication. And after we had directly a turnaround Tuesday, bam, we took our levels back where we have been starting before. In January, we had the same. We started with a down Friday, down Monday. 5 days after, we bottom out and we created new highs. Why is that? Of course, you can't answer this question just by saying yes or no, but what are the factors? Is it because we don't have any alternative, only the equity market? Is it because we have a bunch of new generation people who are starting to invest, who are starting to think about finance, who are starting to create their own value and financial freedom, of course? So what do you think? What is the guideline to know where this came from? Because you are all almost, I think, more than 30 years on the floor. And do we have situation like this? No, we had corrections that last for a bit, and not only for, we can now describe it in hours, 48 hours just for a correction. In the history, it was days or weeks or even years.
You know what? It's a great question. Look, we often say that we've seen this movie before in markets, right? But I don't think that I've ever seen such an untethered appetite for everything. It's really like a slingshot, you know, that. It's a multifaceted answer to your question. You know what? Look, historically, we know that, and you saw it if you looked on social media, people talked about that often when you see a Friday down and a Monday down multiple percentages, then that is a key signal to a sell-off. Well, we didn't have that happen. Then we had the story, we had a week where we had the China trade story and the controversy between the new administration and China sort of caused a little bump in the road. That was short-lived. Then we had the yield curve and the death cross, and we thought that was going to be the thing that finally broke the back of the bull market. That didn't happen. Then we saw the inflation story come out, which is a real story that turned out to be, you know, the overanalysis of it became a transient story, as we don't have a playbook for reopening out of a pandemic. And that was very short-lived. And then we had this last week, which was a Friday sell-off, Monday's Friday, then Saturday, Sunday, what? You've got a Friday sell-off and a Monday sell-off, and everyone is sort of suddenly the media and the press and the internet and social media, like, this is it. This is the end of the bull market, la, la, la. And what all I could say was on that last Monday was, one day does not make a market, right? How irresponsible is that of people to sell that, say that? That we've seen that every sell-off, even the crash, and I will call it a crash of 2020, was more of a buying opportunity than a selling opportunity. We've talked about, I've lived through the crash of 87, the financial crisis. They've all taken a different amount of times to get back to even. But there's unprecedented, we got back to even from the crash of 2020 by August. We're up double digits since then. So I love to, I'm not a predictor of the market. I'm more of a forensic analyst of the market. I like to read the market and let it tell me what it thinks of what's going on. So I think the most significant thing, it is the new generation of traders. It is an untethered appetite for the marketplace. It is a reopening story that people feel we are at a new level here, because I don't think, you know, it's been a year and a half. We do still have some obstacles. But at no time throughout the pandemic, except that period from February 12th to March 2020, did we ever see any kind of real fragility or any kind of a real anxiety about a market correction or crash due to the pandemic. We talked about it over the last year, you, me, and Manuel, this bifurcation, right, where we've really gone in opposite directions, the economy and the market. The market has a mind of its own. And I believe that the first part of your question really answers it, is that where else can people go? We are still sheltered in place to a certain extent globally, right? People are not, there is some business travel, there is some vacation travel. People are just trickling into sporting arenas. We are obviously still have obstacles worldwide about the pandemic and the new variant and whatnot. So there has been a hyper-focus of the investment community, the new generation of traders into the stock exchange, into the marketplace, into the equities market. So that's got to be a big contributing factor, and the lack of any other opportunities, right? Are people out there able to analyze real estate as an opportunity for investment? Not really. We're all sort of locked away still. Is the market something that you can invest in while sitting at home when you are still sheltered in place, working from home or whatever? Absolutely. So I think it's a multifaceted answer to your question. The appetite is unbelievable. Here on the stock exchange, we're seeing an amazing appetite of IPOs once again. Many companies that I don't think historically would have gone public. We have a company here this morning that's an exercise company. It's a new gym, right? We've had two or three of them open up this week and go public. Now, look, I wish all the best for them. But, you know, we saw the SPACs and we saw the sort of the excitement about SPACs, then the overdevelopment of the SPACs, and no longer so much interest in SPACs. Now we're seeing the normal IPO and direct listings become super exciting again. I think that the market did an extraordinary thing by getting back to even, by having an incredible rally over the last year and a half. Yet we are sitting here in July, almost August 2021. The market is at record highs, right? Record highs, ladies and gentlemen, record highs, Dow 35,000, the S&P last week hitting a record high, not sure how it closed there. So to now start the reopening and the recovery of the economy from this level, right, what do, right? You've got to get back in, because if we get control of the virus and we actually start to recover and reopen, well, you know, sky's the limit, right? Sky is the limit from this point. That will be the catalyst to take this. We're not going to suddenly get control of the virus. The world's going to open up and they're going to start selling the market. No, you're going to start having the cruise lines and these people start being robust again, having a boiling over balance sheet. The airlines are going to start to become profitable again. Retail and the hospitality industry are going to start just bubbling over. People are going to start getting back to partying and buying things and taking trips and vacationing and doing business again, right? So that will only be a catalyst to growth. And a catalyst to growth from a market that, with all our obstacles, is trading at record highs last week, is just like, you got to hop on this train, right? Yeah. Because every potential headwind that we've seen over the last year and a half has not dampened the excitement and appetite for this market. So the market tells us what it thinks of all this.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much. Salah Edidemoumidi, the head of markets at IG, and the legendary Einstein of Wall Street, Peter Tuckman, two young, fresh, new talents on the market. Guys, thank you so much.
You and me, there's a job for us somewhere. Maybe Manuel will give us a job, Salah. Pleasure to be here with you guys.
Guys, I appreciate your time. It was fun talking to you. Thank you guys for watching. This was the IG Trading Talk. More information on IG.com. Thanks for this week. I'm Manuel Koch. Take care.
Und wenn euch diese Sendung gefallen hat, dann abonniert gerne den Podcast von Inside Wirtschaft und gebt uns ein Like.